Amen. Amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23. You say, well, I know that chapter. Good. Familiar chapter this morning. We are so blessed. What a fitting song for Thanksgiving. I tell you what, we're amazed at how much food, how much things get put on the table, how many desserts are made. And thankful for our families, all the gatherings together. We had, because of the rain, my brother, as most of you know, my brother has 11 children. Of course, our three. Of course, my dad and the adults. So we had a house full, and then, of course, it rained the entire time. And so the house full became a house full. They couldn't go outside hardly. And so my dad has a farm and about 90 acres, and normally they're out four-wheeling it and all sorts of other stuff. And but no, all inside. About a 2,000-ish square foot house, and it was a lovely time. No, we had a good time. We did. We had a good time. It was a little loud, a lot of good food, a lot of good fellowship. Thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the closeness that our family has and what a blessing it is. And I've talked about my brother some. Me and my brother, we have some disagreements when it comes to church philosophy a little bit and the way things go. But I'm so thankful he's my best friend and my dad as well. So I know many of you could say the same thing. We've had a good week. And today I want to talk about the shepherd. Simple message. Most of you have heard this chapter and heard it preached many times. And a lot of you, if you attend a funeral, hear it quoted from. I remember as a kid, as a small kid, I don't remember, maybe 5, 6, 7 years of age, somewhere around there, that I memorized the 23rd Psalm, and I actually memorized it at my grandparents' house. My papa is the one who instigated me memorizing it. I remember it so vividly, us being in the bedroom there and him walking me through that and teaching me as well as helping me to memorize it. My papa's favorite song was Surely Goodness and Mercy Shall Follow Me All the Days of My Life, and I'll sing it here in a little while. But just not only a great psalm about the shepherd, but also some good memories as I think about this psalm. The word lamb, shepherd, or sheep is found over 1,000 times in the Bible. This psalm has such great meaning to us and comfort and so forth as we think about our Lord being our shepherd. You say, how do we get that analogy? Well, Jesus said, I am the shepherd. He's the one who gave to us this illustration, this picture, this analogy of his relationship to us, which helps us to understand that relationship that we have with him. I'm thankful he's given us that he's our heavenly Father, and that's the way he helps illustrate to us our relationship between us and God. But Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and there's such a wonderful picture there. Psalm 23, again, familiar passage. Speaking of the great shepherd, let's look here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love for us, your grace and your mercy that you've so richly extended to us. We thank you for the relationship we can have with your Son, the Shepherd. We pray this morning that this relationship would be very clear and precise and evident. I pray that it would be an encouragement to those who've come out in the rain today, that it would be a blessing to them. And Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as their shepherd, I pray today that you would become their shepherd. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As we know, even in the Old Testament, we see that picture of Jesus Christ being the lamb, but also of us being the sheep. And there's so much analogies and things here, but he said, all we like sheep have gone astray, referring to us who have gone astray as we are lost. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus Christ was looking out over Jerusalem, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion toward them, talking about the city and the Jews, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Those are the words, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. We see the parable in Luke chapter 15 of the lost sheep, and I'll refer to that here a little more in just a moment, but the parable that Jesus gave about the 99 and one lost sheep, and the shepherd went to find the one lost sheep. And the analogies and the illustrations go on and on and on. In Psalm 22, we're not going to turn there, and we're not going to read it, but just to make you aware that in Psalm 22, we have one of the greatest pictures, one of the greatest Old Testament accounts of the death of Jesus Christ and the suffering that he would have there on Calvary. And we refer to Psalm 22 as Jesus Christ being the good shepherd. In other words, Psalm 22 relates to us the good shepherd. What did Jesus say in John chapter 10? He said, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So Psalm 22 illustrates for us the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, we have the great shepherd. The great shepherd. Hebrews tells us, and I'm going to turn over there and read it real quick, in chapter 13 and verse 20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." Notice again, it refers to Jesus Christ as the shepherd. And here it refers to him as the great shepherd of the sheep. "Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So it describes there in Hebrews chapter 13, the great shepherd. What is the great shepherd doing? He's working in us. He's working through us. And so the great shepherd here is referred to in Psalm 23 and what the shepherd is doing for us now. So Psalm 22 is the account of the death of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made on Calvary and the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. Psalm 23 is the account of the great shepherd who is working in our life now. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. He's working in my life now. He's empowering me. He's encouraging me. He's giving me peace and strength and all these things. And that's the picture here now. Don't miss the picture. It's a great picture. And then Psalm 24, we refer to as him being the chief shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, Peter says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of life," or crown of glory, "that fadeth not away." So in Psalm 24, it speaks of his coming again. Psalm 22, his death on the cross, the good shepherd. Psalm 23, his work now, his shepherding us now, the great shepherd. And then Psalm 24, him coming again. Jesus Christ, the shepherd, coming for us. One day, the blessed hope is that Jesus Christ is going to return. I am looking forward to the blessed hope. I am looking forward to his return. And the chief shepherd shall appear, Peter says. He shall appear. He will appear. One day, he's coming back for his sheep. One day, he will appear and come back for us. That is the illustration this morning, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. We may touch on these tonight again. The Bible refers to, again, in Mark 6, when Jesus said he saw the multitude as a sheep having no shepherd. The Bible refers to, in Isaiah 53 again, that we are all like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Sheep are some kind of animals, and I'm not going to get into that, especially this morning. I want to talk about the shepherd this morning, but sheep are some kind of animals. Sheep will devour a pasture. You have to move them away from a pasture, or they'll destroy it. Sheep will put their head through a fence or do anything, get toppled up. They're helpless. They're helpless. They have to be watched. They have to be watched. It's amazing, though, they can become so pet-like. In other words, I've seen the videos and I've watched it where, you know, somebody can holler at the sheep and the sheep won't come, but the shepherd comes out and hollers at them. And they come. They know his voice. They become almost like his pets. Everybody see? It's just amazing. Sheep and their nature. They're an amazing animal, but they're also in some ways such a helpless animal, and I will use the word dumb. They're thought of that way in some ways, but they are helpless. They're in need of a shepherd. They need the shepherd. And can I tell you this morning, we're in need of a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to ask you the question this morning, is he your shepherd? Do you know him as Savior this morning? He is that great shepherd. Psalm 22, again, he came to save us. Psalm 22 describes him as being on the cross there for us, and his bones being exposed, and the cruelty, and him being smushed like a worm, and all the cruelty and things that Jesus Christ went through on the cross, that he shed his blood for me in order that I might have eternal life, in order that my sins might be forgiven, in order that I might have a home in heaven. He is absolutely the good shepherd. God became flesh, the Bible says, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? In order to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ came to this earth, died an horrific death, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, was buried, put in a tomb, but 3 days later rose from the dead in order that my sins might be forgiven, in order that my sins might be erased, in order that my sins might be paid for in full. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is my shepherd. At the age of 6 years old, in my pastor's office on a Saturday morning, it was March 12th, I believe. My mom wrote it down for me. 1980, that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And at that very moment, Jesus Christ became my shepherd. And for all these years now, he's been my shepherd, where he's led me and guided me and been such a sweet Savior to me. Is Christ your shepherd? In Psalm 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He speaks of the Lord being there for us. "I shall not want." I shall not want, he says, the psalmist says. I shall not want. Listen, as a Christian, the Bible says in Philippians, that the Bible says in the Philippians chapter 4 that God has promised to supply all of our needs. All of our needs. What does that mean? That means all our needs. Well, preacher, yes, he's promised to put food on the table, and I'm glad he did. This week was amazing. I had all sorts of good food. I had my dad, maybe my favorite chocolate chip chocolate cake. Of course, my mom wasn't there to make it for me, so my dad made it for me. My mom will make me one in heaven. I think they'll have ovens up there. It'll be cool. But dad made the cakes. Dad made the pumpkin pies. Fried turkey. We don't believe in baked turkeys anymore. Everything's fried now. So it's juicy. And it was good stuff. Lots of food. You think about Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Most of the time, first thing that comes to our mind is that God's supplying our physical needs. Yes, he has promised. If you are saved, if you are born again, if you are part of the family of God, then God has promised that he will supply your physical needs. I'm thankful for that. He says, even if a sparrow was to fall, God takes care of the sparrow, surely he'll take care of you. God gives rain to the grass and to the flowers, and if he supplies the nutrients and the water, the things that the flowers need, surely he'll take care of you. I am so thankful that God supplies my physical needs. And I'm so thankful that I don't remember a time in my life, not only when I was a kid growing up in my mom and dad's home, but also in my married life, where I have been in want. As I described there's been times the checkbook read 51 cents. Or 85 cents from week to week. But I've never been in want. I've never lacked food on the table. God has supplied my physical needs. And he will supply your physical needs. As a child of God, as a part of the family of God, God will supply your needs. Secondly, he's promised to supply our needs. Does not just include, or just alone include our physical, but our relational needs. I'm thankful that God supplies my relational needs. That he supplies my needs as a dad. To raise my boys. He supplies my needs as a husband to give to my wife what she needs and to have the right relationship with her, supply those relational needs. I'm glad he supplies my relational needs, aren't you? Amen? He supplies my emotional needs. What does that mean? Well, he's not the author of fear, right? God gives us peace. God gives us security. God gives us strength. God gives us comfort. God gives us, if you would, God gives us the ability to have joy and all these things. Amen. And Jesus said, I came to give life and to give life more abundant. God's been given abundant life. God not only meets my relational, my physical, but He will, no doubt, meet my emotional needs. Some of us get so stressed out over everything. Some of y'all were so stressed out this week, you couldn't enjoy the fun. The Lord will come and supply that need for you. Comfort you. Give you peace. I'm thankful for that peace that God has given me. Those needs that we have, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He supplies all of my needs. He supplies my spiritual needs. My spiritual needs. He gives my body what it needs. He gives my soul what it needs. Fulfillment, security, joy, peace. But He also gives my spirit what it needs. I'm thankful that my Heavenly Father gives me His Holy Spirit that abides in me. When I got saved at the age of 6 years old, my Bible tells me the Holy Spirit came and now it abides in me. The Holy Spirit's there to empower me. The Holy Spirit's there to give me power to live a Christian life. The Holy Spirit's there to give me strength to live from day to day. Holy Spirit's there for me, supplying my spiritual needs. And I know, and most of you who've been saved very long understand that, have experienced those needs. You ever been in a revival meeting, and the Lord spoke to your heart about something, and He supplied that spiritual need for you? Isn't that amazing? You ever get those goosebumps, you know, your hair stands on the back of your head, it kind of goes down the back. You ever get those? No? Never experienced that as a Christian? You're missing out. No, I'm not saying that every experience that you have to experience in God in order for Him to meet your spiritual needs. But I'm thankful there's times in the past where I have felt His presence. Not in a vision, not in a dream, but I have sensed His presence and His comfort and His strength in providing for me emotionally, relationally, physically, and spiritually. My shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. Is He your shepherd this morning? I shall not want. I'm glad He supplies all my needs, every need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me. He maketh me. This speaks of the rest that we have in Christ Jesus when we yield to Him. When we yield to Him. In Matthew chapter 11, remember Matthew chapter 11 and look at verse, and you don't, if you turn there quickly, you can look at it with me. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest, rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest, rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Listen, as we come to the Lord, He gives us rest. He gives us rest. Hebrews speaks of this. Not talking about heaven here. Hebrews says there is a rest. There is a rest now for the Christian. There is a rest now for the saved. Listen, you can experience rest in your life. What does that mean, preacher? Well, contentment. What does that mean, preacher? What does it mean to have rest in your own life? Satisfaction in your own life. You can come to the place in your life when you can sit down in your chair and feel at rest. No worries. It's an amazing thing. There is a rest for those who are weary. There is a rest for those who are struggling. There is a rest. There is contentment found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I like the word maketh me because sometimes He has to make us do so. But we won't dwell much on that because here in the next few verses, it helps us with that. Fear is dealt with by the shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd is the one who gives the ability for the sheep to rest. In other words, He's the one protecting them. They know it. The sheep don't have to fear. because the shepherd is protecting them. Hello? We don't have to fear. God is not the author of fear. Well, I'm preaching to myself this morning. God is not the author of fear. Our shepherd's there to protect us in order that we might rest. That we might rest in Him. There is a rest. And you as a Christian and me as a Christian, we can experience that rest. Our shepherd's taking care of everything for us. Then it goes on to say, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, man. What a picture. He leads me beside the still waters. In Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden." Notice the picture here. "And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Like a watered garden, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He brings us to a place of refreshment. I am thankful that He leads me beside the still waters. John 16, verse 7 says, "The Holy Spirit that abides in us, that He will lead us into all truth." We think about refreshment. We think about vanilla Dr. Pepper. But listen, not in a can. Those can ones stink. And the ones in the bottle, it has to come from one of those machine things. You stick it in there, and the carbonation when you drink it, bites your tongue, makes you just want your tongue to flop around and hit the rest of your mouth. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, it hurts just a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? You want the burn. If the burn's not there, it's not any good. Some of you health nuts don't know what I'm talking about. You hadn't had one in a while. You drink that thing down. Oh, that's refreshing. Man, that vanilla, just now all these little gas stations now have the fountain drinks, but they also have the flavor button. Love it. It's awesome. So just take and you fill that thing up and, you know, you can go to get a 32-ounce drink for $1. That's awesome. That's why I'm so... Anyway, some of y'all are shaking your head. It's refreshing. It's refreshing. And you drink that thing and you just want to sometimes cry a little bit, but it's awesome. It's awesome. It's refreshing. Well, better than a vanilla cherry Dr. Pepper out of a fountain. And I'm being so silly, I know. But Jesus Christ, the shepherd, leads us beside the still waters. I just want you, let's back up a little bit. Life was not meant to be endured. Life was meant to be enjoyed. If you're not enjoying life, then you're not relying upon the shepherd. The shepherd will lead you beside the still waters, bring you to a place of refreshment. This is the vanilla Dr. Pepper. I know I'm being stupid, silly. I will use the word stupid, but sometimes I am. But this, listen closely. Should have stayed serious with you. This is the still waters. This. Amen. This is it. The water of the Word. The refreshing water of the Word. As you read the water, as you read the Word, it's like a purifying water. It cleanses us. As you read the Word of God, it's like refreshment. It's a well, a spring of living water gushing out. It's an amazing book. Get in the book. Get in the book. It's refreshment. We need the book. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We need the water of the Word. And there's a lot of scriptures that refer to that. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. What all could be said about this one? As the hart panteth after the water brook, or as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is the musician here speaking of God. It says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while thou continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Hope thou in God. Listen, we in this life do fall. In this life, we will fail. If you try to do anything, at some point you're going to fail. If you try to do anything, at some point you're going to fall. But the Bible says, "He restoreth my soul." He is there to restore us. He's there to pick us up when we are down. I'm so thankful the Lord forgives me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We stray. We fall. We fail. But the shepherd is there with his hook and his crook, and he picks us up, carries us upon his shoulders, there to help us and encourage us and to restore us. We need to learn, and we need to understand that the Lord forgives. We must understand God's heart for us. We must understand the shepherd's heart. What is the shepherd's heart like? Well, I think Luke chapter 15 helps us to understand the shepherd's heart. In the parable that Jesus gave there in Luke chapter 15, he speaks to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he says to them, "Hey, there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of the sheep got lost, went astray." He said, "What do you think happened?" "Well, the shepherd went to find that one sheep." "Well, why would he leave the 99 to go find one? Isn't the 99 more valuable than the one?" "No, to the shepherd, they're all valuable. He loves them all." And so he leaves the 99, he goes out to find the one sheep. And the Bible says there in Luke 15 in the parable that once he found the lost sheep, he picked the sheep up and placed it on his shoulder. That's not exactly what it says. It says he placed him on his shoulders, plural. He didn't just take him like a sack of feed and pick up a 50-pound sack of feed and put it on a shoulder. He didn't take it like he would a bundle of shingles and pick them up and put it on his shoulder. No, the Bible says he picked the sheep up and placed it on his shoulders. That means he had to go over his neck and on his shoulders like this. And he was holding that sheep. That's our shepherd. Our shepherd loves us. He restores us when we fall. He restores us when we fail. He restores us when we stray. I'm glad I have a forgiving Savior. He, by the way, as the Father hath forgiven me, so he forgives us. And then he asks us to forgive one another. He says, "If my Heavenly Father forgives me, why wouldn't you forgive one another?" We all fail. In fact, the Bible says, if a brother fall, restore such a one. He says, pick that brother up. Jesus picked up that lost sheep and put it on his shoulders, plural, and carried the lost sheep. And when he got back, he called for a party, for a feast. He said, "Hey, everybody come to my house. I found the one sheep that was lost." And they rejoiced together with him, having found that lost sheep. That's the love of the Savior. That's the love of a shepherd. That's the shepherd's heart. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm going to give you just a couple of things here on this subject before we move on. The loss of the sheep was sustained by God, not by the sheep. It was the sheep that strayed. It's the shepherd who lost. I'm not saying lost. I'm saying it's the shepherd who experienced loss. Everybody stay with me. The sheep wandered. In other words, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam fell. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all mankind, for all have sinned." When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, all mankind fell. And yes, we lost. We fell there in the Garden of Eden. Because of our sins, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." We had Adam not sinned, we would not experience death. But because of Adam's sin, the Bible says death passed upon every man, for all have sinned. And the wages, the penalty of sin is death. We experience physical death. But Revelation tells us, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There is a death greater than the physical death. There is a spiritual death. And there is a death, a penalty of that sin is hell. There is a literal hell. There's a little burning flame, fire, hell that people go to who do not know the shepherd, who do not have Jesus Christ as their Savior. You're saying, preacher, that's old school. That's Bible. If heaven's real, hell is real. Hell is just as real as heaven is true, and I'm looking forward to heaven someday. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the shepherd, if you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, the Bible says there's a penalty for that. But listen closely now. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God made a way. God made a way for us to escape hell and have a home in heaven, and it's through the shepherd. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and His life, His death, and His resurrection. The shepherd loved us so much that He seeks us. He seeks the one that is lost because He loves us. He's seeking you now. He's seeking you now. You see, when Adam fell, it wasn't just mankind that suffered loss. God also suffered loss. See, what do you mean? I mean that when Adam fell and that separation happened between God and man, God lost something highly valuable. And now He's seeking to regain that. He's seeking to redeem His own, to purchase us back, to buy back His valued possession. And therefore, He did this by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, the shepherd, to come to earth, to live a perfect life, and then go to the cross and die and shed His blood in order that that fellowship, in order that that relationship might be restored between God and mankind. God values that relationship. We were created for His good pleasure. Listen again now. God values you. God wants a personal relationship with you. And He does this by way of His Son, Jesus Christ. The great shepherd of the sheep. We preached for many years about our inheritance, that the Bible says that we are His inheritance. How can that be? How can we be God's inheritance? He didn't get much, did He? He got the raw end of the deal. But the Bible says we are His heritage. We are His inheritance. God loves you. God loves you this morning. God loves me. God seeks to restore that fellowship with Him. He seeks the affection of the human heart. We were created to fellowship with Him. And He seeks us. He seeks our salvation, not merely for our sakes, but for His own. I'll even use this term. He misses us. He values us so much that He gave His Son's life for us. Don't let us never forget that. That's the shepherd's heart. That's the shepherd's heart. He restoreth my soul. Christian, this morning when you fall, when you fail, when you sin, I'm glad I don't lose my relationship with the Lord, but I do lose fellowship. And when I come to Him, 1 John 1:9 says, and I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And therefore, when I come to Him as a Christian, as a sheep, and ask for forgiveness, in other words, when I come to Him as a child of God, having done wrong, having sinned, and I ask for forgiveness, that fellowship is restored. It has nothing to do with our relationship. I'm glad when I got saved, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. I was placed into the family of God, and that I was adopted in the family of God, and that relationship can never be fractured. That relationship will never be dissolved. I've been placed into the hand of God and the hand of Jesus, and no man plucks me out of the Father's hand. I'm eternally saved. In other words, when I sin as a Christian, when I sin as a sheep, when I sin as a child of God, the relationship doesn't change. I'm still a part of the family of God. But my fellowship does. The simplest illustration I know is when I was growing up in my father's house, that sometimes I didn't act right. Sometimes. No, a lot. I was the hyperactive kid. I was the kid that got a whipping every day till he was 12. My dad told me so. So when I did something wrong and dad found out or whatever, it affected the fellowship I had with my dad. But once the punishment was dealt out, once I sought for forgiveness, and I always did, because dad had a part in that as well. What did you do wrong, son? I did this and it didn't do. Okay, this is, yeah. Anyway, so he dealt out the punishment, asked for forgiveness, and listen, the fellowship was restored. The relationship was always there. I was still his son the whole time. Listen, I don't lose, when I sin as a Christian, as a child of God, I don't lose that relationship with God. It's still there, but I lose the fellowship. He says, he restoreth my soul. He restores your soul as you go to him and ask for forgiveness. By the way, he'll forgive you every time. I want to encourage you. As God has forgiven us, so should we forgive one another. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need to hurry along. All we like sheep have gone astray. It's the Lord who leads us in the right path. The shepherd has a plan and a purpose for our life. He is mindful of our needs, and therefore he leads us where he would have us to go. He leads us there along that, as he would refresh, as he would water the garden. He leads us along this life. Listen, we ought to follow his lead. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I want to spend a little time here, and I don't have the time, but we ought to live holy lives. He leadeth me in the paths of what? Righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Right living. We as Christians ought to be distinct from the world. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We ought to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus. We ought to follow in his steps. We ought to live right. He leadeth me in the right path. By the way, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the right path. That's the best path. That's the path of blessing. That's the path of rest. That's the path of comfort. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I'm glad today there's comfort in death. Romans chapter 8, Paul says, who shall separate me from the love of God? Not even death will separate us from God's love. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. 1 Corinthians 15 says, he conquered death for us. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I'm glad today, as a child of God, I do not fear death. I do not fear death. Now, I am a little afraid about maybe how I'm going to die, but I don't fear death. I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know that if I do continue to live and the Lord comes back, that I'll be raptured up. That blessed hope we talked about earlier, I am so thankful that death has no sting for those who are his sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's why Paul refers to death many times as sleep. I'm not talking about soul sleep. I'm talking about referring to it as such a case that we are. The soul and the spirit never die. And therefore, when we die, when we pass from this life, we pass from this life to the next. We die here, we wake up in heaven. If you're a sheep, if you are a child of God. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is kind of unusual. Thy rod and thy staff, the shepherd always carried his staff. And he used it for both the rod and for comfort. In other words, he would take the rod and he would, you know, put the sheep where he wanted to, using one side of it and prod him a little bit and get him around. And he also used the hook of the crook to pick a sheep up and place it on the horse or whatever he may be riding. He used it for correction and for comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, the Lord, the shepherd of the sheep, is there for us, comforting us with his staff. He's also there correcting us with his staff. I think they're one and the same, by the way. I take comfort today in that my earthly father corrected me when I was a kid. I'm so glad he did that. As a child of God, as a sheep, I want the Lord to correct me when I stray. I take comfort in knowing that he will. I just hope that I'm listening. I hope that I would allow him and yield to what he had asked me to do. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And there we think about God, the shepherd, giving us food for the fight. We think about the growing of our faith as we go forward in our Christian life. By the way, faith is an area in which we grow as Christians. Think about David before he battled Goliath, fought the bear and the lion first. As a shepherd, David fought the bear, David fought the lion, and then later down the road, he fought the giant. By the way, the giant was not the greatest act of faith that David ever exhibited. You look further down the road, David went through a lot. His faith continued to be tested throughout the rest of his life. Thou preparest the table before me. God gives us the tools we need to live this life. God strengthens us for the fight. I'm glad he's not left us helpless. He's not left us without the Holy Spirit to guide and encourage and strengthen us. He's not left us without the weapon and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But he's gone, but he hasn't left us. He's left us with the Holy Spirit. Thou anointest my head with oil. And the Holy Spirit's such a great thing. Hang on. Holy Spirit's such a great person. Holy Spirit in my life, there empowering me and encouraging me. What a blessing. By the way, the Holy Spirit will do above all that we think or ask. Thou anointest my head with oil. By the way, we need the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I'll use the phrase, we need a fresh anointing sometimes. I'm not talking about more of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to have more of us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As a sheep having a great shepherd, goodness follows us. In other words, God gives us good things. Undeserved. I don't deserve this shepherd. As a sheep, I'm the one that moves. I'm the one that strays. I'm the one that gets out of the right way. I'm the one that bickers. I'm the one that complains. Yet the Lord loves me. Surely goodness and mercy. Mercy is things that God takes out of our life that we deserve. God so richly extends to us His goodness and His mercy, though we are so undeserving of it. I'm so thankful we have a loving shepherd. A shepherd who loves us and cares for us. Shall follow me all the days of my life. That song says, a pilgrim was I in a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me. And now I am on my way home. I can hear my papa singing it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall live with Him forevermore. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And they have thus far. I'm thankful for that goodness and mercy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a little while. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Salvation is eternal. Amen. I'm looking forward to the day that I walk the streets of gold and live with Him eternally. This morning, do you know the shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd this morning? Are you saved? If not, would you take courage and step out here in just a second as we sing and come down to the altar, and we'll show you from the Bible how the Lord can be your shepherd, how you can know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning, Christian, and you've allowed Satan to plant that seed of fear in your life. And maybe this morning you're here and there's a discontentment in your life. And maybe there's just no rest in your life. I mean, you're not living the abundant life. Won't you come down and place that at the shepherd's feet? The shepherd loves you this morning, cares for you. He will restore your soul. He will lead you in the paths. He will comfort and guide you if you'll come and let Him. It's about us. See, God, the shepherd don't move. We're the ones that stray. We're the ones that wander. We just got to come back to the fold. We just got to come back to Him and yield to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. We thank You for this wonderful analogy. Lord, we thank You that You are our great shepherd and that You're working in our lives now. We thank You that You're the good shepherd who gave His life for us. We thank You, the great shepherd who now works in our lives and comforts us and supplies our needs. And Lord, we're looking forward to You returning as the chief shepherd one day. But Lord, I pray this morning if there's someone here who's never accepted You as Savior, I pray today they would accept You. Lord, that You would draw them to You, that You would seek them as only You can. The Holy Spirit would convict them and give them courage to step out of their chair and come forward in this invitation and accept You today. Lord, You've said in Your Word that today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. That none of us know what's going to happen when we leave this auditorium. Pray, God, that You would strengthen them. Lord, this morning there are many here who are hurting, many here who are not at rest. There's some here, Lord, that are overwhelmed by worry and fear. I pray this morning that You'd wrap Your loving arms around them, and as the great shepherd, that You would encourage and strengthen them as only You can, that You would restore their soul, lead them the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Lord, we thank You again for this wonderful illustration of Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.